This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview NPFL and CrossFit Games athlete Lindsay Valenzuela.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Christopher Moore to my right. And CTP behind the camera. We're here in Las Vegas for the NPFL Combine. We have our guest here, Lindsay Valenzuela.
Hello.
Welcome.
We've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a while, but geographically, it's been impossible.
Yes.
So we don't do the Skype thing because we like to have super high quality audio and cool video, of course.
Absolutely.
If you're listening, shame on you. The video is so much cooler. we're here at the NPFL Combine. It is a blast. We're here on the last night. It's been 3 days of action. Yesterday, we got to see the first, like, exhibition match. Like, legit, like, East Coast versus West Coast.
It was legit.
That was fun.
East Coast won.
Whatever. West Coast is still better.
I want to like the West Coast. I'm moving to the West Coast.
Oh, really? Where?
In the fall. I'm going to Encinitas.
Ah.
Yeah. So, I'll be West Coast soon.
We'll do this more often.
Yeah. And tonight's the last night. We have two live streaming events, two live matches. The first one was it LA Reign?
Yes, it was.
Your team.
Yes.
Go Reign.
Yeah, go Reign.
Against the Philadelphia
Founders.
Can we
cheer for two? Is it okay to cheer?
It's so hard.
For two teams at once.
I love everybody.
That's a really
I'm already
hard
trying to figure out my allegiances.
Which ones you like already?
Yeah, because we have friends on a couple of the teams, and it's fantastic.
We're friends with the Meat first.
Philadelphia Founders.
And I'm like, oh. So, like, we're cheering for them, and then we meet people from L.A. Reign. I'm like, man, they're so cool, too.
It's hard to turn off on the floor, too, because I had a couple girlfriends on the team, too, that we were going against, and I was like, man, I like them so much. Right now, I have to hate you, though, because I have to beat you.
Yeah, sorry. You're going down.
I think our official position will be we love them all.
And then after, oh, hi, how's it going?
Who's going right now? What are the teams?
Just red and blue, right?
Yeah, these are all the final qualifiers.
Yep. Final qualifiers.
Oh, sweet.
Right. See, there's
gets guaranteed contracts.
Guaranteed contracts.
Oh, so these are like the top tiered.
Yes, and
athletes
I have a couple
that haven't been contracted yet.
Right, and I have a couple of friends going right now. So
it's gonna be a bloody fight to the battle.
I'm really excited for them. This should be a good little race.
And actually, you're the first athlete we've interviewed so far that is signed with a team.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Well, he nodded the camera.
Oh, no. We did. We talked to Sam Dancer and
Danny Nichols.
Danny Nichols mm-hmm. earlier today. Mm-hmm.
The meatiest of the athletes in this league.
First female.
Right on.
Signed athlete with
yes!
the NFL.
Yes, winning.
That brings up, I want to ask, what's your take on one of the most novel things about this is that for the first time that we can think of in a professional sport, women are sort of showcased right alongside men in prime time, same standard. You know, it's all one. Also with masters athletes, but I think it's an amazing opportunity to show, women are strong as shit, badass, can move barbells, and they're worthy of your attention right at the same time as the men athletes.
Right. I got asked that question earlier today. And
good job coming up with good, unique questions, Chris.
It was a timely question.
It's actually a really cool question because I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was
really?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, this is the first time that women and men are being showcased together and getting equal parts on how to showcase their talent.
I think it's common in our culture already. I think we kind of discussed that earlier, too. It's already common in our culture for women to have equal spotlight.
Right.
Whereas it may not be the culture in other sports.
Or in business or in society in a lot of aspects. It's a damn shame.
Well, this is kind of cool because in the fitness arena, you tend to see more of the women. In my perspective, I think that the women are showcased more because, I mean, we tend to wear less clothing when we work out, right?
And you're fit.
We're fit and we're pretty good looking.
Visually appealing.
Yeah,
that's
very
sure.
visually
Mike
appealing.
Mike and I will
appealing.
Certify this, yes, okay. You're all very attractive.
But now the men are getting showcased just as much as the ladies, so good for the men. Yeah, high five.
We've been fighting for our rights for a long time.
Do you know there are men's rights organizations with the trip?
Yeah, I heard that lately.
Yes, you have this amazing opportunity to really make... If this blows up, if this is like a UFC-style explosion in interest that common people have in fitness, you could be a real influential person in the lives of young girls all over. They can see you and say, oh, Dad, can I have a barbell for Christmas? That would be an extraordinary thing, yeah?
That would be that's what I'm trying to accomplish. If I can accomplish anything out of this sport, out of the NPFL, it would be to encourage young ladies to get involved in the fitness world, if it's through the NPFL or another fitness realm. I think that there are not a lot of women role models in the athletic world for young ladies. I can't think of a lot when I was growing up, maybe one or two, but I never really followed strictly one female athlete and said, that's the role model I looked up to. It was more male athletes like Michael Jordan.
That's who got the screen time.
Right. But, you know, if I could accomplish one thing, it would be to encourage young ladies to get involved.
Very cool. Fantastic, man.
What does it feel? How does it feel to be a professional athlete where there's like you're going to get a paycheck? Where, you know, before it was like.
For exercising.
You may have been one of the best in the world, right? And you have the opportunity to win, and money is part of the prize in that scenario, and what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a different? Are you getting a little bit different feeling knowing that you can now train full time without having to worry about, oh, if I don't win this year, maybe I won't have the money to train full time? Or how does that work?
I mean, I've always considered myself, at least the amount of hours that I put into my sport as a professional athlete. Like you said before, really only the top 2% make money off of this, off of fitness. So we don't all make money off of
there's
it, right?
There's an opportunity to make money.
There's an opportunity, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah, absolutely no guarantee.
Right. And if you have sponsors, you know, that they definitely help out as much as they can, but, you know, that's not going to help make ends meet. With the NPFL, it's giving people a large opportunity to make a salary that will either help out significantly or will just help them not have to worry about working. And then the health insurance is another thing, you know. I'm fortunate to have health insurance through my husband, but there's a lot of young athletes out there on the floor that have nothing. So they're...
You're one bad turn, one roll of dice away from having your life.
And injuries can happen anywhere. If it's here or walking down the street. I mean, injuries happen. But knowing that you have health insurance and you can go to the doctor and that's taken care of makes, you know, your peace of mind much better.
Yeah, it's one less source of stress.
Are the benefits coming from the NPFL or the teams?
I believe they're coming from the teams, right? Yeah.
The teams are providing the benefits and the pay and all that kind of stuff. Okay. I didn't know. Is the NPFL requiring that? See, maybe we should just have you on the podcast, too. We got our coach over here.
He was shouting from the sidelines.
What's the question?
Are they requiring
minimum requirements by the NPFL for the teams to offer benefits?
Each team has to provide.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take it. For instance, I don't need it.
Yeah.
My husband's a police officer, so we have good insurance.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you're not getting paid a lot, because I don't know what the teams are paying, I know that there's a minimum of $2,500 per match.
Right.
And if that's all you got paid for, that would still, depending on where you live, mm-hmm. you know, that might give you a stable income. May not be, you know, enough to live like a luxurious lifestyle,
right.
but it's stable.
Right.
You know, it's something you can expect every month.
Well, it's a starting point. Who knows where it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely incentives if you win, finals, semifinals, quarterfinals, you get a bonus. So that definitely will help out more as well. But, you know, like you said before in other competitions, there is no guarantee.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and you go in, and if you don't have a sponsor, you're paying money out of your pocket. And sure, you're getting out of it, a lot of it athletically and as an athlete, but it makes your life a little bit more difficult to train and live a normal life.
Yeah, always in the back of your head, you got it. Like, things aren't guaranteed. I could get hurt.
Right.
This is not a sure thing. And it's going to affect your training.
Right.
People forget that that's something that has a real profound effect on how you respond to training, how you recover, how hard you push.
Right.
It's going to limit you.
Oh, yeah.
So you finished your first match today. Like, this is the first, like, is this the first time you've, like, competed and, like, for your team.
Yeah, so this was the first time I've ever done a grid, ever. So I was a little nervous because all these other people that have been here all week, I guess I was a rookie going into this because I didn't know what I was. I kind of had an idea, but not really. But
you like studying it, visualizing, and
actually, I tried not to do too much of that.
Okay.
I didn't actually. One of the races, I was like, "Wait, what are we doing now?"
Are you like a game day athlete?
Yeah.
You show up. Okay.
I'm not a very good practice.
You don't like the plan.
Not really. Like,
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
I do well in training, but I do much better when there's pressure and I'm competing.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
To rise to the challenge.
Yeah.
So how did it feel?
It reaffirmed everything and the reasons why I'm here. That was probably the most fun I've had doing fitness or something like this in a really long time. Not that I don't have fun doing it as an individual, but, you know, last few weeks have been very challenging for me, so it brought the love back for the sport.
Yeah. So you got a little... Going through the demands of the regional season is tough, right?
I mean, right.
It has its ups and downs. It's
right.
Demanding. And when things are really tough as an individual, if you don't make it, if the wind comes out of your sails, it's kind of hard to see, where I go from here?
Right.
But it's kind of nice. It has opened up this opportunity for you. It's kind of a good lesson that things that seem negative aren't necessarily negative. It is a great opportunity to do something that it turns out could be a tremendous opportunity.
Right. Everything happens for a reason. So I really think that, you know, unfortunately, I didn't make the CrossFit Games. You know, having this opportunity, everything is falling into place. So, I mean, do I wish I could be at the CrossFit Games? Hell yeah. Like, yeah. I would give anything to be there, you know, and defend my title or the second place title that I got last year. But I think God has a plan and everything's falling into place.
How do you feel about how this activity, this MPFL thing, compares against CrossFit? Because one thing we've been talking about and kind of fleshing out in our mind is that what it really kind of seems like, a lot of people are going to make comparisons. A lot of people are going to try to pit one against the other, just like they do anything. I mean, that's what people do, right? But it seems much more like, well, yeah, there's barbells involved. This is a competitive fitness thing. But it's kind of like if you try to match up, you know, weightlifting to powerlifting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they look a lot alike. But if you try to say this one's better than that one, it's leaving out a lot of the information. Like, they're not necessarily, it's not quite fair to say this one's better or this one's got this advantage. No, they're very different. This is a very intense, short duration thing with a lot of new variables.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of new variables.
Right. I think, you know, they're very different and they're very similar. They're very different in the aspect, like you just said. The time frame is very short. It's very fast. It's very appealing to the spectators because there's always someone doing something different.
Yeah.
I think it's very spectator friendly in the way that they have the matches shown on the screen, live streamed, the score, the numbers.
The quality of that live stream. You guys looked fantastic.
Right. So I think it's different in that aspect. And there are some different movements that we haven't seen yet in CrossFit. Maybe they'll show up. I don't know. But I also feel that they're the same in community-wise, and, you know, they're trying to do the best for the athletes. I love both, and I'll never stop doing either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's just a trick of getting them to flow together smoothly.
Yeah.
So I owe a lot to CrossFit, and I love it, and I'll never stop doing it. But I also have a newfound love for MPFL, so hopefully I can get both of them to mesh well.
I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is that this is going to, the guy who has never, even as big as CrossFit is, there's a big, massive amount of the population who just aren't going to see it. They're not going to watch it on ESPN2 or whatever. They just won't catch it. They're living busy lives, but they dig NHL, NFL, NBA. They might stumble across this. They're going to see indicators that let them know immediately what's going on.
Right.
Counts of reps and light indicators for where people stand. There's a natural flow. There's a beginning and end. There's a half court kind of. There's a finish line, like a touchdown zone. They're going to see that. They're going to say, well, I might be interested in this. Like, where can I do this?
Right.
My local CrossFit box. It's going to drive another layer, maybe a larger level of drawing people into this lifestyle.
Right.
It's going to be a very good thing.
And for the athletes, you know, we've been talking about this. Unfortunately, you see a lot of athletes not make it to the games after regionals, and they just stop training. They're like, well, what's the point? I didn't make it to the games. I might as well take a month or two off.
Yeah.
I think this is giving them an opportunity to continue training and, you know, have a step ahead of if they just stopped and get ready for the next season.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's going to show a lot of athletes that nobody knows about. I mean, there was a couple of girls out there that were fucking awesome yesterday. Yeah. And I was like, who the hell are these girls? And I wouldn't have known about them. And yeah. they were killing it out there. So I think it's going to give, you know, new athletes an opportunity to kind of shine, and their confidence is going to get higher. And they're like, I can do individuals. I'm going to try to do individuals next year as a regional athlete. Yeah. So I think, you know, that it's, I think both are, that both of them have the potential to complement each other very well.
Yeah, the experiment just has to play out a little bit more.
Right.
To see where this goes and see how the other sports around this adapt and adjust to it.
Okay. Right.
All right, we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about what Lindsay wants the championship trophy to look like.
This is Andrea Ager, and you're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com.
Barbell Shrug is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrug.com and sign up for the newsletter.
I get drinking and then I get tired.
And then you fall asleep.
Yeah. Welcome back.
To Barbell Shrugged.
I said it different this time.
Welcome back.
I screwed up the "and we're back." Okay. Lindsay, I learned a very interesting thing right before we came back on, which was, you said you had your honeymoon here?
Yes, I did.
In Vegas?
In Vegas, like 4 years ago.
Did you party really hard?
We did. We had a lot of fun, though.
But she goes, we came here because, well, we didn't have a lot of money, but you could come to Vegas?
I mean, well, we were here for a week, so like...
A week? That's mistake number two. How did you survive a week in Vegas?
And it was during Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah,
weird.
So we were fine, but like, you could do a lot for the least amount of money. So like, we went to shows, we went to the, you know, the buffets and everything. Oh, we drank a lot. It was fun. We had a lot of fun.
We have a rule, you know, like, if we go more than 3 days, things, our physiological being and spiritual aspects of our souls breaks down rapidly. We're like, oh shit, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that, like, well, the other thing too is, if you do Vegas for a short period of time, you have permission
to go back again.
You give yourself permission to go hard. So, like, what I found is I can do 2 nights back to back, balls deep. And then
balls deep.
Well, maybe that's not the way I should describe. Yeah. Figuratively. Maybe I should have used different terminology, because being in Vegas, you know, some people go there and then not the same thing. I mean, of course.
Go on.
Anyways, yeah. Two nights in a row is as hard as I can go, and then after that, I have to call it. You know, the flight. I plan a flight to leave. That's why we didn't come on the first day here. I was like, 3 whole days in Vegas, can't do it.
Yeah. That's
I'll
hilarious.
Fucking die.
But tonight's the grand finale.
Yeah.
Tonight's
the grand
finale. We're going hard tonight. Lindsay, you coming out?
I will, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We better wrap it up, because I got to shower and do my hair.
Yeah, and
your hair is done.
No, it's not. I got to straighten it.
We're going to get some tequila in front of you, and we're going to get
Don't do that.
Yeah, no.
That's a bad idea.
Look, here's the thing.
Like Michael Jackson bad, or bad as in, no, I really would rather not show that side of myself.
I would really rather not show that
side of myself. I will tell you this. I can tell you, and you can reference check this. There are two women that are pretty big in CrossFit that can attest to our ability to keep secrets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
he's a really big secret.
I'm not going to say it on camera.
I almost got you.
No. I almost forget things after they happen. That's how good I am at keeping secrets.
No, it's okay.
I had a top secret security clearance in the Navy. I am excellent at this. You can trust me.
What's not trustworthy about a giant bearded man with a shark shirt on?
I can trust that.
Yeah, you have to trust someone with a shark on their shirt.
I can trust that.
Yeah. So we'll talk later. We'll go out and have a good time. We plan on going big tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll take pictures.
Lindsay, I'm interested. So
sure.
this is a fun path, right? Mm-hmm. This is an awesome opportunity. It's an extraordinary thing that we're seeing, but this is not an easy thing. This takes effort. This takes a hell of a lot of sacrifice on your part. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it puts a strain on the hubby. You got to make a lot of sacrifices, eat a lot of things that you'd rather not eat, train long, hard hours, shit. What drives this effort for you? What gets you up in the morning and makes you eager to get back and attack this task?
You know, it's easier some days than others, obviously. But I honestly, truly love this sport. You know, I love inspiring people. From an early age, I was told, you know, because I'm dyslexic. I was diagnosed with dyslexia when I was in second grade. I was told from, you know, not my parents, but from some people that I couldn't do things. And once you tell me I can't do things, I do it. And when I make that commitment, it's full blown. I won't stop. I'm almost too guilty of giving my all in everything I do in my life. And people have to tell me to slow down and say, Lindsay, focus on one thing at a time. But I have a true love for this sport. I honestly, like I've said before, I could care less if I ever get back on that podium. I really just want to, at the end of the day, show what a good person I am and inspire people to improve themselves and never give up.
Yeah, I think people, really, the limitations put upon yourselves and the things you hear from other people, like, well, I don't think you can do that. You go, well, maybe you're right.
Right.
It's amazing what people can achieve.
Right.
When they have some success, they try, they keep with it. They have some profound insight. Wow, holy shit, like maybe I've been... It's not true what I've been told. Like, I maybe have been lied to in a lot of ways. Right. Or at the very least, people are just kind of scared. They don't quite have the belief in themselves. They never had the faith to step out and really lay it all on the line and give themselves totally to something. They don't know that it's actually possible.
Right.
So for you to demonstrate that, to show that, look, if you commit full go to this, if you're not too scared to show yourself and to give yourself wholeheartedly to something, look what amazing stuff can happen. I mean, would you say that... I mean, you're obviously talented and you obviously have some genetic advantage, but you say maybe perhaps you're nothing necessarily special. You give yourself totally to this and you trust that good shit's going to happen if you do that.
Yeah, I mean, I see girls out there that, you know, talent-wise are probably way more talented than me, and that's fine. I've always had to work hard for everything that I've have in my life, and nothing's ever come easy to me. So, yeah, I dedicate full-heartedly my entire self to this sport when I'm doing it. My training is just training. I'm focusing on just training. But once training is over with, I'm focusing on my family and everything else that I need to focus on. I really look up to Mark Devine, and he's my mentor.
His show aired today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've gotten to know Mark fairly well over the last few months.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I love that guy.
And I did Seal Fit, I think I did it like 2.5 years ago. And being able to make that connection mentally with myself, it was kind of always there, but I don't think those neurons were firing exactly.
Yeah. It takes
they
that
were
chaos,
like,
right?
Yeah, that almost that like chaos.
You got to get to that moment where like, I want nothing more in this existential realm
to lie here
than
and
a fucking dry
die.
Blanket. Let me die, or give me just a dry blanket for 15 minutes.
And that experience at Seal Fit, you know, it's just a cusp of what you guys go through or what you've gone through. But I've never felt that internal feeling of, if I can do this, I can handle anything in life. Obviously, there's going to be moments where I'm like, fuck this. I want to give up. Like, I don't want to do any of this.
Yeah.
What's the point? And it gets like that some days, but I think being able to rely back on that weekend and be able to speak with Mark, and I've spoken with him since regionals and right before regionals, and knowing that every step and every day is just part of your process as growing as a human being mentally, I've really matured in that aspect in the last 3 years since Seal Fit. And I just kind of take everything and go with the flow. And if I don't like something, then I say I don't like it. And if it doesn't get fixed, then I try to just work with it.
When you say Seal Fit, did you do a course? Was it a
Kokoro
camp?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did that in October of 2012.
Can you tell us about that week? It's 5 days, right?
53
hours.
You
look like you literally shiver up your spine when you went.
Yeah. It was the 50 hours. That's
yeah,
right.
53
yeah, yeah.
hours. Turning steel, I believe, is 5 days, and I really want to do that one. That's my next one because I was thinking about doing Kokoro again.
Yeah.
And Mark was like, you want to get it.
That.
Yeah, he's like, you've conquered that. Move on to the next thing. So turning steel is like ammo
legit.
And like, oh
shit.
Fuck. Yeah, I want
guns?
Yeah. I already have.
Yeah, you get an outfit.
Yeah,
they
I got two guns
out,
at
man.
Home. Trust me,
wow.
I'm married to a cop, so I was like, fuck yeah. but it's cops
dude, that
so
sounds
much.
Cool as
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the.
I don't think my whole team knows it yet, but everyone on the Barbell Stroke staff is doing a Kokoro camp.
Are
in
you?
The spring, I think.
Well, I heard you say it. I just pretend like it was a dream.
I'm
or
an intern, so I might be there.
Ooh.
I am trying
I'm
to
not
think.
As sneaky as the real guys because during our ruck, we had guys following us, and I had no fucking idea they were following us the whole entire, like, 6-hour ruck.
Ninjas.
And I'm so glad I didn't say anything bad about them or, like, fuck that guy because they were following us the whole time. And I was.
6-hour
ruck up
so
a mountain.
So I'm gonna have to do that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. This is on the
or
second
or
night.
Or you're fired.
Shit.
This is, yeah.
6 hours? That's not all, right?
No.
There's other stuff
this
around
is,
the 6-hour ruck hike.
It's like,
only like 44 other hours of stuff to do.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's like 44 hours of no sleep.
Chris is freaking out.
Can I ask you, do you think a 270-pound ex power lifter with some mobility constraints and an inability to run really at all. Do you think he can survive this?
I definitely would start improving your running.
I'll get to work on that. Thanks, Coach.
But honestly, we had, you know, everyone from myself, a professional athlete or a professional CrossFitter, and to a dad that, you know, he came in knowing that it was going to be one of the hardest weekends of his entire life, who physically held us back every single evolution.
Yeah.
But your body will go before your mind. And I've never experienced on how strong the mind is. Like laying in the surf with my head down in the water, like being in tune with my senses of, okay, the wave's crashing now, close my eyes, hold my breath.
Is that everything else?
It was like the coolest, honestly, like it was an outer body, like people talk about.
It's the most meditative state you could have.
Yeah, people talk about outer body experiences. I've never experienced something like that. And I don't think I ever will again, because it was the coolest thing I've ever experienced.
Probably not the same sense, right?
No, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I can't say enough things about it. Like, people think I'm like cultish about the Seal Fit thing, but I wish every single human being in our society, it was mandatory for someone to go through this.
Yeah, it's a rite of passage. Like, it's probably a very routine thing, not an easy thing ever, but in all kinds of human cultures for a long period of time, people had to go through rites of passage. Times we had to go out in the wilderness, survive. Yeah. And like as we talked about with Joe DeCina, the Spartan death race founder, whatever, he said, we know that things happen, profound things happen in your mind, and you go through an experience where it all comes down to one glass of water, one moment when you're staring up at the sky where nothing else, it's hard to worry about what lies outside of this event when you're here in this place, and your body just, everything becomes profoundly recalculated.
Oh, yeah.
So one of, you know, there's, talk about enlightenment or reaching that moment as Satori or something like that. That's actually one avenue to get there, you know. Some people do meditation. They don't want to push the physical limits in order to get there. But pushing your physical limits and getting very uncomfortable is a way to get there.
And nothing gets you so uncomfortable as Seal Fit. I've never been chafed in places that I thought I couldn't get chafed.
I chafe easily.
And I was like, if this is what, hint, if the ring of fire feels like when you have children, I don't know if I can fucking have any kids, because this hurts really bad. And imagine being a woman and talking to all your Seal Fit coaches who are men, and you're like, Coach, I
ring
hurt.
Of fire! Oh, man.
Yeah. Coach, I have a question about my ring of fire.
I once had the, I actually had the top of my head, like, I like went bald on top from carrying the boats on my head, and the sand got ground in there, just like, it was bald spot and scab on top of my head.
I know what strategy I'm going to follow.
I had the ring of fire thing going on back there. And then around the neckline and around here, around the waistline, all the sand just grinds the flesh away.
And it was like instantly, like within the first hour, you're like, there's no way I'm chafing already. And you're like, fuck, I'm chafing.
People think, oh, you know, people that do that, they're like really tough. And they don't think about chafing as like the one of the worst parts of it. They're like cold water, carrying hot, heavy objects,
right?
Running. You're like, no, it's the chafing.
Yeah. If you haven't had the chafing, you wouldn't realize just how sucky the chafing can be.
I talked with my grandfather, you know, God bless his soul, but he was one of my biggest inspirations for doing that, because he was a SEAL and back in World War II. And I told him, I was like, hey, Grandpa, guess what I'm doing? And he goes, what? And he was always the one that I could talk to before I did stuff like this.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm doing SEAL Fit. And he's like, you're doing what? And I go, I'm doing Seal Fit. He's like, what is that? And I think he kind of, 95 years old, kind of caught on to it.
He was an old UDT-er.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
I explained it. I explained it to him, and he was like, Lindsay, whatever you do, they're looking for good women like you. Don't sign up. He's like, because I know you're going to love it, and I know you're going to excel at it. But
I just love talking.
Yeah. It was the coolest thing to be able to connect with him on some of a kind of a level. Not close, but kind of.
By the way, we podcast with Mark Devine, and if you want to go find that episode, check it out. It's episode 123.
I think my strategy with the Seal Fit experience, like listening to Mark talk, I think there's one play. I think you got to focus in on love and what you stand to gain from this. I'm going to zero in on the thought of my kids. I got a 2-year-old little boy. And a 9-week daughter, Max.
Oh my God,
and May.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So I think what I got to do is say, look, I've got to demonstrate to them that, look, I'm beat up, not really built for this. Most people would not try this. They would say, this is impossible. There's much easier things to do. Yes, you can learn you're tough, but this is not necessary. Okay. I want to show them that anything you really want to do. You might not be pretty at it. It might suck intensely. But if you just have a strategy and if you focus on what matters to you most and what you need to demonstrate for that love, then you can make it through that. So that's probably going to be my
so
focus
your,
on that.
So your why would be your kids.
It would be my kids.
Right. And a lot of guys go into that weekend having their why as, I want to be a good father. I want to be the best father that I can possibly be. And this is going to help me. Yeah. And my why was my grandfather, and I wanted to prove myself wrong, and I wholeheartedly wanted to believe in myself.
Yeah.
So that was my why.
I think my high level view would be, I want people to understand, especially my kids, that look, my life, I was ruled a lot by fear and worry, mm-hmm. as most humans get. Like, people tell you can't, and you're scared if can't happens. Like, what if I try and I don't get there? What mm-hmm. if I just fuck everything up? What if I'm not good enough? The fear puts you in a prison. It's a slavery. Mm-hmm. I want to show them that, look, you can be scared of things. You can be scared to talk to somebody across the room or to go for what you want to go for or to be what you feel like you need to be. You feel like you want to listen and abide by the whispers that are telling you, you can do that shit. Go for it. Yeah. I want to tell them the fear that's holding you back is a fake thing. Push through that.
Accept it and move on.
I can go up this fucking mountain with chafed thighs. You can do what you want to do too. No, you can do what you want to do.
And raw feet.
Yeah,
being hallucinating about every, I saw Indians on a rug.
Well, it was great. To be honest, I'm looking forward to
it. I thought I was in fucking Narnia when I was going in through that rug.
That sounds awesome. I would welcome the hallucinations. I was like, well, it's at least a good fucking time.
Oh, and the worst part is when you get in the van and it's heated and they're playing classical music and you can't fall asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
That was fun.
I've heard about that bit.
That was mean. That was straight up.
Well, we're gonna do our best here, Michael.
All right, is there anything you want to promote or so we don't miss out? Oh, there was something we want to talk about. Something you mentioned in the break. You said you want the comparison between NPFL and CrossFit.
So one thing that I forgot to mention is, you know, the difference between CrossFit and the NPFL. CrossFit is finding the fittest man and woman and fittest team in the world. The NPFL is putting on a show, is spectator friendly, is, you know, fast moving, is basically entertainment. Not that CrossFit isn't, but CrossFit is finding the fittest in the world.
That's their number one objective.
Right. So, and they are. I think that's the big difference. I think, you know, that would be the only other difference that I see between the two.
It's a profound difference. It makes it a profoundly different aim. It's a structurally different, inherently genetically different. It's why these things can and should coexist and will both prosper and flourish because of it.
Agreed.
And you can give me some perspective here. Last night we were watching one of the matches and we're up in the booth and we're just kind of watching and somebody was saying, oh, this guy's going fast is a deadlift ladder, I think. Mm-hmm. This guy's going fast. Oh, why is he going so slow? Like he was looking at the athlete and going, they were judging the athlete based on what was happening. Mm-hmm. I was like, look over to his left. The coach is telling him how fast to go.
Right.
And so the coach was telling the last athlete to go fast, this guy to go slow.
Right.
This isn't the athlete's choice.
Uh-uh.
The athlete is being, you know, told how to pace by the coach. I mean, can you share like a little bit of perspective on that, how that might be different?
Yeah, I mean, at the games, the coach doesn't really have room to be near their team. Like, there is no opportunity to be really close to their team because it's just such a wide spectrum, wide environment or playing field. Here at the NPFL, the coaches are right on the sidelines, so they get to be more interacting with their athletes and the team as a whole. So I would say that's another big thing. I would say that the games are the Olympics.
Yeah.
And the NPFL are like the NBA, and there's NBA players that play in the Olympics.
Right.
The Olympics, nothing can replace the Olympics, right?
Right.
Just like nothing can replace the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
And the NPFL is like the NBA.
Yeah. I agree. When I watch it on the screen, I think, man, it's just like when I watch basketball. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of that same vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Anything you want to promote? Where should we follow you on Instagram and Twitter and all that?
Instagram and Twitter, I tweeter. That's what I say instead of tweet. Are Lift Like Lindsay, and I also have b3lv.com where that has my merchandise, Us SoCal girls are big into that. And then we got a calendar.
Can I get me a shirt or something?
Yeah, B3LV shirt. I can get you one of those.
Sweet.
And have a calendar on there that I'm going to hopefully do some seminars regarding inspirational stuff and working out. And working out, I guess. A blog. And I just recently wrote a write-up about my regional experience. So if you guys want to read that, and I'll do a write-up about the MPFL week. I just want to thank, you know, my sponsors, Reebok and Rogue, Natural Grips, all those good guys. You can find all that product on my website.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us.
Enjoyed it.
It was great.
Hopefully everyone likes it.
Yes. And don't forget to go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter.
Cheers, everyone.